Welcome to episode 519. How well do you know yourself? With all of the distractions from doom scrolling, Netflix, sugar binges, porn, and all of the things that you can buy online and get delivered to your house, you're probably very disconnected from your body. And that disconnection can result in yo-yoing weight, yo-yo diets, and health conditions and diseases that only get worse. So today, I speak with a functional nutrition expert that's also a hypnotherapist about how to tap into your body's voice, to hear that voice and be able to understand it. And as part of that, we talk deeply about the lost art of intuition, and also about using the personality profiling tool called Human Design as a self-awareness exercise that can have huge life-altering effects on your life and on your health if you know your Human Design profile and how to apply it to your own body and your own life. This conversation did absolutely not go as I expected, but it's certainly worth listening to because all of these weird and wonderful topics have huge value to your health. So if you want to get healthy and stay that way, keep listening. Even as a scientist and nutritionist, I was secretly trapped in binge eating and hooked on sugar. And let's be real, the so-called solutions can feel overwhelming. Calorie counting, restrictive diets, weight loss pills, surgery, and even injections. I'm Matty Lansdowne, and the truth is, more nutrition facts aren't the answer. It's understanding why we eat the way we do. And you don't need to be perfect to achieve great health either. That shift changed everything for me, and now I share it here as the host of the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast, where it's my mission to help 1 million people break free from the yo-yo diet cycle for good by bringing you the conversations that really matter in nutrition, health, and psychology. And I'm not afraid to challenge mainstream health advice when it doesn't stack up. Are you ready? Let's begin. What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast. So actually, today we've got a guest that's been here before, episode 153, which at this point, after kids and life changes and just the podcast rolling on, that feels like a lifetime ago. But we've got Hope Pedraza, who is here with me again. Hope, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Matty. Thanks for having me again. And it totally feels like a lifetime ago. Eons.
Yeah, oh my God. Lives have transformed in so many ways since then. And actually, probably the world. I don't know if we talked post COVID. Like,
I think it was, I feel like it was maybe in the thick of it. I don't know. I just know it was like, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, so long ago. Oh my God. And you were just saying that you have what, a 5 and a 7 year old?
Yes. So I didn't have one of those the last time we talked. Yeah.
Yeah. So, life's transforming, which is good, I guess. Like, you know, if it was always the same, then that would be not so exciting.
That's right. That's why we're here.
I'm curious to ask the question because the world has changed in such a massive way in the last five years, especially in conversations of health, you know, whether that be vaccines or, you know, the food pyramid or, you know, there's just lots of these health conversations that have been thrust into the mainstream conversation, particularly as a result of COVID, but also as a result of the Trump administration. And not that I'm getting into conversations around, you know, who's a good president or not, but just the fact that we're hearing a lot more in the media about health and different things. But what do you see has been the big change in the last 5 years or so since we did the last podcast? Yeah. What's changed in your worldview or your world in regards to health?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of changes for the good, and I think there's been a lot of changes maybe for the not so good. I think people are waking up and have been waking up to, you know, what does health really mean and what is true health and where, you know, government corporations and all that play a part in it. I do think that over the past, like since people are waking up, I feel like there's so much more noise out there though, that can be really confusing to people because everybody's got their own opinions about everything. And so it can be one of those, well, what is true and what is correct for me and what is right and what is healthy. So I feel like it's kind of a double-edged sword where it's great to have access to so much information and data and science around this, that, and whatever, but then it can also be really overwhelming when people are using this science to say this thing, but then it also says this thing. So I think there's just a lot out there, and I think we're in such a great spot right now to really use discernment and like really listen to our own bodies and feel into what's true for us.
Yeah, that idea of discernment is interesting because I guess previously discernment meant trust educated professionals. And, you know, a lot of people would say lines like, oh, it's what my doctor told me to do, or, you know, my insert mainstream medical health practitioner, or my mum's a doctor, or my cousin's a doctor, or whatever they say. Where it's interesting because I think you're right that the awareness around the institutionalization, but also, I guess, the capitalist side of medicine and healthcare is becoming more and more obvious to people. And now this idea of discernment in some ways is good and bad. Like all things, there's a duality to them because now we're, you know, defaulting to personalities that we like on social media, which is interesting that I make that comment because probably you and I are playing that game.
Yeah. It's true.
Right?
You're a part of it.
But it's also interesting that it's like, once upon a time, the credentials mattered the most, right. Whereas now in the world of personal brands, it's like somebody's vibe matters more.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you sitting on that? Do you think vibe does matter more because it relates to the patient or client practitioner relationship and builds trust? Or and do credentials even matter anymore? I mean, university enrollments all over the globe are dropping because of, you know, jobs aren't guaranteed anymore. And
sure.
So anyway, where do you sit on that conversation?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think, like you said, this duality to all of it, right? There's good and bad to all of it. And I think that I wouldn't say that credentials don't matter. I think they don't hold as much weight as they used to just because of where things are. And like, it's just like this, the amount of information that's out there. But I do think that you're talking about vibe. I do think that matters. I don't think that's, I don't think we should be putting all of our weight in that, but I do think it matters because I think it goes back to discernment. Like we were talking about, I bring in a lot of like energetics and intuition and stuff into the work that I do with my clients. I work mostly with women, and I am a huge proponent of like listening to your body and listening to your intuition. And so I think that plays a part in kind of the vibe thing you were talking about, where somebody, you feel in your body, like what this person is saying feels true for me. I think there's value to that. So I do think that matters and that it makes a difference. And I do think that when we are really in touch with our bodies and our intuition in that way, the filter that we're receiving the information can kind of get sorted in the right way when we feel into that.
Do you feel like we've lost the ability to dial in or listen to our intuition?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think Western medicine has done a great job of that. I mean, we've compartmentalized the body and the mind, right? And all parts of the body, we go to this doctor for this and this doctor for this and this doctor for this. And we've compartmentalized ourselves and leads us to forget that we are a holistic being. We are a mental being and a physical being and a spiritual being and an emotional being. We have all these layers to us, but yet we separate it all out. So I think that alone is separating us from that body wisdom and that inner wisdom, which is what I help my clients with a lot of the work that I do with my clients. And it totally separates us from intuition. And I think that's what makes it so potentially where we are right now with so much information and loud voices screaming what's right and what's not right can be harmful. Cause it's like, well, I don't even know what my body is telling me is correct or not. Cause I've been so disconnected from it for so long.
Yes, social media. I was just a friend of mine who's been on the podcast many times, Danielle Hamilton. I just saw a story of hers. So she was talking about, and she had asked the question, how do you feel about social media today? And I literally wrote, hate it. That's exactly what I wrote. And one of those reasons is that I get so stuck in the unconscious consumption of warm and fuzzy things and terrible things and amazing things and interesting things that keep me educated and up to date with the latest health trends and research and all sorts of different stuff. But at the end of the day, all it has done is disconnect me from whatever level of truth I was in touch with before. And on top of that, I also feel depleted, tired, kind of triggered in about three different ways about 17 things I just saw.
Yep.
And so it's like I don't, you know, where is there even a space for intuition in the modern lifestyle? Right. And I've at least got enough understanding about social media that I have app blockers. Every week my apps are deleted from my phone. I download them, do my promotion for the week and delete them. But I'm as susceptible as anyone to be like, oh, I'll just leave it on for today because insert reason that's not really a good reason, you know. But all of that to come around to the talking point of intuition and being disconnected from it. And in this world of chaos, it feels like, how do we get back to, you know, decluttering our psyche to be able to dial into what our body's actually saying?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, and it takes us, I mean, it does a really good job of bringing us out of the present moment. And for me, like, presence is such a huge part of being able to tune in and tap into our intuition and that, like, inner voice, inner guidance, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I mean, where it's just constant input, and just, I feel like it just kind of creates this cloud around, like, getting in touch with those parts of ourselves and just removes any sense of presence we have with the present moment. And I think I think that's a huge downfall. Like, and like anything, like you said, I mean, it's great because we can, you know, stay up to date with current events and research and all the things, but then it's like, well, if we're not really on it for just that and we're consuming and scrolling, and then you end up doom scrolling, and 2 hours later you're like, where did my life just go? Like, I just lost 2 hours of my life. Can't get back.
It's funny because I don't know if you know this, but I also have, which is relatively new, a business that works in the sales technology space that uses a lot of AI. And one of the things that, you know, I go to a lot of networking events and speak in that regard to how businesses use AI. But one of the things that's interesting, similar to social media and all the trends that we feel like we've got to keep up with, is that it, just like AI, it feels like it's everywhere and it's controlling the world and we better keep up with it. But when you actually talk to business owners, and by business owners, I mean, you know, businesses that truly run the economy, that are doing several million, you know, a year, and not sort of startups or coaches that are struggling to get off the ground, but like, yeah, multi-million dollar businesses that have been going for 20 or 30 years, you realize that, oh, actually, nobody really even knows what AI is, nor are they really using it beyond like a pseudo Google. And I feel similar with a lot of the stuff that I consume on social media. Where, I mean, right now it's littered with adorable babies and parenting advice, which, you know, I love, of course.
That's helpful. Yeah. You know,
yeah, totally. It's like, oh my God, the world's beautiful. Yeah. But also there's so many new ideas that it's like, would any one person have the ability to implement half of these anyway? So it's like,
right. That, I mean, that's it. I mean, information is one thing, but like integrating it and embodying what you're taking in is a whole other thing. I mean, you can consume information all day. It's not going to change consuming information isn't going to change your life. And I think that's the other piece that I think it's connected to what we were just talking about of like being connected to your body or not, is that piece. Like, our mind can take it all in, but like our body has, we've got to integrate it. We've got to put it into practice. And that's the piece that's missing.
Do you have practices like to get people back into their body, to get people back into like hearing the messages or the voices of their body?
Yeah, a lot actually. So depends how woo you want to get on this show.
Let's get super woo.
We can get as woo as you want to get, but I bring in a lot of practices. So, I mean, I think at the simplest level, really, I have my clients do this. And it sounds so simple and it can sound really dumb, but having them take time during the day, like 2 to 3 times a day, just to listen to their body. And I tell them, like, take a pause 2 or 3 times a day. And like I said, this sounds very like elementary and very simple, basic. But if we really think about it, how often do we really stop, like intentionally stop in whatever time of day and ask ourselves, like, okay, what am I feeling in my body? What is my body asking for? What does my body need in this moment? Like taking intentional time to check in with ourselves and tune into our body, like first of all. And then with that, I tell my clients, it's like learning a new language. First of all, we're not really taught to listen to our bodies. So when we've been out of touch for that for so long, it's like learning a different language, like a foreign language. So if we take that intentional time a few times a day to tune in and listen, like, okay, this feels XYZ tight, there's tension here, or there's this tingling here, or I feel frustrated here, and I feel triggered here. Like tuning into those things and understanding the signs and the signals that your body is sending you throughout the day. That's like step number one. Can we just be intentional about checking in with ourselves? But to really like some of the practices that I use to help my clients get. So I bring in, I'm big into human design. So that's a huge piece of the work that I do in helping people understand their energetic makeup. So understanding that piece of themselves, I do a lot of subconscious work. So I do, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. I'd use NLP. I do frequency like aura scans. So like checking into their energy field and seeing. So all of these pieces I tie in to help them like learn about their bodies and understand how their bodies work and how their energy is designed to flow in all of that. Like there's some, like a lot of somatic and embodiment practices within that just to help them to be able to tune into those pieces where it's not just about the physical body, but it's all these other layers like we were talking about earlier.
I like that idea. I use app blockers a lot. And actually I find simply having app blockers on and the apps deleted from my phone already, that invites moments of like even just the mind wandering, like, which I feel like in the modern day, if you've got all the apps on your phone and you know you're busy, because we're all insanely busy with everything, even just the mind wandering off on into the wall or out the window, you know, and having these moments of almost peace, just it's like, oh, I didn't do this before, you know, I didn't actually have this space before. So it was so bizarre to me, like that I get those moments back and actually in those moments, and maybe it's because of the work I've done or do with clients as well, that I'm like, oh, and I get a moment to dial into the body or listen to my intuition or anything like that. And so it's, yeah, for me, it's like, it starts really practically to be able to access those tiny minutes or windows. It's like, what do you normally do in those minutes or windows where your body wants to switch off from what you're focused on? We all pick up our phone pretty much, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like by when you default. Pick up your phone and open Instagram and Instagram doesn't open, you're like, oh, what do I fill this 90 seconds with?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. We're used to filling every second of the day with XYZ. Like you said, we're all busy. And I use air quotes here because it's like this badge of honor, how busy we can be and how much we can fill our schedules and fill the back-to-back calls and blah, 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 all the things. And I say that without judgment because I've been there. Like I am like a recovering hustle culture type A perfectionist, all the things. So I have been there and that was my life. And I burned myself. I like killed my adrenals. So I've been there, but it's like you said, it's like, well, I think the other thing too is going back to what we were saying before about the kind of this disconnect between the body and the mind. I think a lot of people are afraid of what happens in the silence. Like, what am I going to hear if I'm in the silence and I'm not filling my time? And, you know, like, what happens there? What do I do with myself? So there's a lot of fears that come up. I also, because I work with a lot of women and like high performing women, like, like entrepreneurs, career driven women, that kind of thing. A lot of times too, it's
hope just disappeared from the conversation.
This fear around stopping and rest. And what happens. So I think the other issue is not only are we afraid of what happens in the silence, but I work with a lot of high performing women. So it's like entrepreneurs and business owners and career driven women. And we've been so indoctrinated in hustle culture. And so for them, it's not, sometimes it is about like what happens in the silence, but it's also like, I don't know who I am without the productivity. Like, I don't know who I am without the busyness. And there's this fear around rest and slowing down. And what happens if I slow down? What happens? So it's this lack of safety around rest and slowing down. And so it just perpetuates the cycle. And I think that it is also this huge component of why we're so disconnected from our bodies.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like I'm just banging on the same drum here, but we probably feel like we need to be less busy if we were less on social media.
It's true though.
Feeling like we needed to keep up with our friends and make sure our life looks amazing all of the time.
The comparison and the, 100%.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, I guess with the internet, it feels like we're running like 47 races at the same time.
Yes.
And just disconnecting ourselves a little bit from half the races we don't even really want to be in, but kind of socially unconsciously are in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we get the mental space, but then we also can sit on the couch and feel like, oh, I'm glad I'm not in those races anymore.
Right.
I didn't even want to win them.
Right. Exactly. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird world. But I guess because one thing that I'm learning in being in, you know, the first year of being a dad, which is still a weird sentence to say, but it's like witnessing Yali, my partner, you know, be a mum, and knowing the work that I've done with mums and women, you know, and grandmothers, mostly because I'm similar, I mostly work with women. I always thought, like, you know, if we have kids, then it's going to be great because, you know, she knows all about the self-sacrificing mother archetype person that I work with. She hears about it all the time, and even had her own thoughts and opinions on how, you know, mums can manage that. And now I've watched her become a mother and be eternally self-sacrificing, even when I'm like, no, you've got to sleep. No, yes, you've got to rest. Yes. Like, no, do in this moment, not all the time, but in this moment, just put you first. Mm-hmm. And it just never happens. Mm-hmm. And it's like this discovery for both of us of like, oh, this is actually hardwired. Like, it's it's a lovely thing to say on a reel on Instagram, you know, about prioritizing yourself. And then either maybe you experience this hope, but you do it yourself or you watch someone do it in your house and you think, whoa, this is fully wired into the biology.
It's innate. Yes, it is in our DNA. Like, and that's really the whole, like, I did a whole series on my podcast last year about how we tie our work to our productivity and our output. And that's what I talked a lot about in that series was it is in our women's, it is in our DNA. Like, it is in ourselves. Like, we're born with it. You know, we talk about generational trauma and science shows that it's like, which I believe it's more like it's set up to 7 generations is in ourselves. I think it's much more than that. Like, it's in us. This is generations and generations and generations that I feel like you could go back until the beginning of time, where that it is literally hardwired. And so that's why, yes, of course, it's a easy thing to say and it's a great sentiment to put on social media. And it's such an easy thing to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to take care of myself first. And it is so much harder in practice because it is such a deep thing to rewire and reprogram in your brain, in your body.
Yeah, totally. I mean, none of us would probably be here if women didn't have that gene or that, you know, genetic makeup to, you know, look after the and rear the young and prioritize them at all costs. Right. So, you know, shout out to all mums in the world right now.
That's right.
For keeping the species alive.
Basically.
But I guess the other thing that, you know, I guess in topics on topic with, you know, what you work with, what I work with and what this podcast, I guess, leans into is we're often up against this idea with clients, and maybe you have a different experience, but of trying to get them in combination to do two things, prioritize themselves, but also simultaneously find time to do that in the busy world that we're in. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that some of the people's health challenges or weight gain struggles or recurrent yo-yo dieting cycles aren't necessarily about the diet or the food. And I'm yet to come across someone that didn't know vegetables were good and steak was good and chocolate and pizza was not ideal. Right. Like, I kind of think the information age has done a good job. Everybody knows.
Yes.
And instead of changing, now they just hate themselves for it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, where do you begin when it's this conversation around you've got to care for yourself, but also against your genetic wiring, but also there's no time to achieve anything?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a hard one to rewire, and it's not impossible, but it is hard and it sounds simple in theory. I think, you know, really this is why I bring so many different modalities into the work that I do is for that reason, because like I said, it's one thing to acknowledge like, oh yeah, I know I need to rest. And I know rest is, because that's one of the things I always talk to my clients, like rest is just as valuable as the doing, right? And it's one thing to say like, oh, and you can believe it on a conscious level, but it's also the other, a totally different thing to live it out in your everyday life. And so it's why I bring so many of the modalities that I do, like the subconscious work, because this is a totally subconscious thing. And I think that we think like, oh, my day is so jam packed. Like, there's no way I can fit anything else in it, which is why a lot of times, you know, people hear about these practices we're talking about. It's like, I don't have a minute in the day to add anything else. And I don't have time for meditation. I don't have time to step outside and step on the grass and, you know, do all the things, you know, but it's not about that. It's when you rewire for me, it's like, it's identity work, right? It's tell my clients, it's becoming the person who structures their day and their weeks in a way that it's not, I'm so busy, I can't fit anything else in and I can't take care of myself. Like it's getting out of that martyr archetype that we women are so good at doing. And we've probably all witnessed it, like you said, in our lives and with our moms and with our grandmas and all that. But it's that rewiring that has to happen to become the person who doesn't always lead with the self-sacrifice, that knows that if I'm not prioritizing me, everyone else in my household is going to be suffering, right? My kids, my partner, spouse, husband, yeah, whatever, like knowing that I lead me and then I lead everyone else.
Yeah. I like that as an idea. I've got this kind of joke in our house, although I'm not a mum or a woman, but ever since our son came along, there's this joke that Yali is number one. So she's the most important person because Gabriel needs her to live, yeah, essentially, because she's, you know, pretty much fully breastfeeding or probably 80% breastfeeding at the moment. But I'm number zero. So I'm the most essential number because one and two can't exist beyond zero.
That's true.
But I'm the least important.
I love that. I love that.
So I'm the most essential because I got the money and I got the job and I got, you know, I make sure the whole show works, but I'm the least important in regards to priorities.
That's great. I love that. That's a good one. We think we can all adopt that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, hopefully it doesn't go forever because I might die, but because I'd really love a nap. But yeah. But the thing I was going to ask, and I was, you know, there's so many amazing things that you do and have in your sort of toolkit. And I'm like, oh, which path do we go down? And so one question that I want to ask that I don't think I've spoken to anybody on the podcast about is you mentioned human design being a part of the toolkit that you use. Mm-hmm. So for some people that don't know what that is, mm-hmm, let's talk about what it is first, yeah, but also why human design? Because there's so many different tools in that world, mm-hmm, to pick from for, yeah, personality profiling and understanding oneself.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that?
Yeah. So human design in the simplest terms is basically your energetic blueprint, your soul's energetic blueprint. So it is the blueprint of how your energy is designed to operate here in this life. And I was first exposed to this with, it's like a spiritual business coach I was working with during COVID actually. And she wasn't a human design coach, but it just a touch of it. And it was just enough for me to be like, holy cow, what is this? I need to know more. And so I dove in and then I couldn't stop. And so the reason I bring it in is because of how I feel about it and how much it's helped me and like understanding myself and this kind of been on this whole journey of self-love and acceptance. I had years of disordered eating behavior. So it was kind of this like repairing and restoring the relationship with myself. And this was a huge part of it. But the other thing is, you know, there's, like you said, there's a lot of things out there. There's different personality things. There's different like astrological things. This one for me resonated so much because I didn't see it as another personality thing or personality test. I saw it as a blueprint. Like it's like a handbook. Like this is how your energy operates. This is how you're designed to interact with your energy and work with your energy. This is how you are here to be. And there are 5 gajillion rabbit holes you can go down in human design. So it can be very overwhelming, but I love all the rabbit holes, but with my clients, I pick out just like the most important high level pieces to give them enough to work with, to understand themselves at this deep cellular level. But then also, as we were saying before, it's one thing to have all the information. It's another thing to really embody it. So it's not too much where they can't like learn how to integrate it into their life. So it's not just like I'm gathering all this information and then it's like drinking from a fire hose and I don't know what to do with it. It's here's the most important pieces. And the other reason I like it, I love anything that connects science with energetics, like science, like the science and soul thing, which is what my work is. And so for me, there is, I mean, not to get too far nerdy with the human design stuff, but there is a really cool sciencey part of it that works with neutrinos, which are these really small subatomic particles that can pass through matter and affects us at a DNA level. And so that's kind of the sciencey part of it. But also when we look at like the centers, like your energy centers, for example, in traditional Chinese medicine, right, this is kind of the connection between the energy body and the physical body. And traditional Chinese medicine says that the balance of yin and yang starts with the endocrine system. And the endocrine system is what connects to our energy centers or our chakras. So I love to be able to kind of put pieces together. I'm looking at functional labs. Okay, this is what's happening in all these parts of the body. And then let's look at your human design and put that together. Okay, your adrenals are doing this. So let's connect that to what specific chakra or energy center. And how is your energy designed to move there? So it's like connecting all these dots and these puzzle pieces. And so it's, we know what's happening in the physical body, but the real reason why are these energetic pieces, which is to me what the human design piece does.
Something happened in the weight loss world recently, and I want to talk about it because all of a sudden it seems like the answer to every struggle with food, every craving, every chocolate binge or weight loss plateau is apparently putting needles in your stomach. And honestly, I mostly get it because I too am a human being. Because if you've spent 10, 20, 30 years trying everything, being told it's your fault, that you're weak, or being handed another meal plan that doesn't really work, of course, things like Ozempic and other weight loss drugs or even weight loss surgery start to look pretty appealing. And I'm not judging anyone who's made those choices, not for a second, but I am judging the industry that got us here. Because what nobody seems to be discussing or bringing up is what happens when you stop. What happens to your metabolism, to your hunger signals, to your weight, to the muscle mass that you lose, to your relationship with food that was already complicated before you walked down this path, right? Here's what I know after years of working with emotional and binge eaters. The craving isn't the problem. It's a signal, and signals have causes. They might be blood sugar crashes, they might be stress and cortisol, it might be emotional patterns that got hardwired a long time ago from convenience of as a result of a chaotic life or in some instances trauma. Inside my Real Weight Loss program, I actually ran a trial group specifically looking at natural alternatives to weight loss medication. And the results genuinely surprised me because people started experiencing that stubborn weight that they hadn't been able to shift for a very long time start to move. But more than that, was the constant food noise in people's heads. That relentless mental chatter and thinking and obsessing about food and managing yourself around food. Will I, won't I, will I, won't I? That's what led me to MitoSync. It's the supplement stack I now recommend to virtually all of my clients, and I use it myself every day. There's no prescription required, no injection, no giving a drug company a permanent seat at your table. And what you can do is take the quiz at realweightlosscoach.com/foodnoise, and we can see if this supplement stack is the right fit for you. The link is down in the show notes below or the caption. Again, realweightlosscoach.com/foodnoise, or simply scroll down. The link is down there. Click it, find out for yourself. Natural first always is our passion and our mantra.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I was at an event that I was a speaker at some time ago, or maybe I wasn't speaking at that one. Anyway, it was an event that I was at, and this woman pulled me aside while some other speakers were talking, and for whatever reason, she just passed me her phone, and this sounds like it's going to be go down some kind of weird sex rabbit hole, but it's not. But she just passes me her phone, and she engaged with me here and there throughout the evening, all it had was like, it was a human design thing and my, you know, put my details in and I put it in and handed it back. And then anyway, my results came up, and in the middle of, you know, this night that was going on, she basically pulled me outside, just talked to me for like, I don't even 90 minutes maybe, about how I'm living my life completely. And she was so certain, to the point that now I like still think like, I need to book a session with
her. That's hilarious.
Because it's like, she was so sure like, of the things that came up from the human design result and where I'm wasting my energy and I'm never going to make money here do this and do that. And she was just, there was so much certainty, you know, that I feel like I want to go back to her.
Right? Like, I need to know more.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Totally. And I was like, maybe I've gotten it all wrong. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's amazing. I love that.
It was so interesting.
Yeah.
But like, when you say, I guess, you know, like it helps people understand themselves. Mm-hmm. Do you mean like, understand why they make certain choices, one understand why they have had experiences like.
Yeah, yes, and more. I think there's so many things. So yes, when you look at it at kind of like a basic level, your human design will tell you how you best make decisions and how you best interact with other people and the world around you and how you best interact with energy. It'll tell you your digestion, like how you best digest food, information, and energy. It'll tell you like things like your core wound, like what is the biggest lesson I'm here to learn in this life? Like what is the thing I'm here to be for other, like the role I'm here to play for others? How do other people see me? So it tells you all of these kind of life purpose things, but then also at a physical level, like I said, when you're tying together the physical body and the energetic body, I can understand how I'm designed to do, right? To work and to be. And because I work with, like I said, most high-performing women, a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, we tie this into their business and so, or their work, their career. How am I designed to work? How am I designed to be? How am I designed to interact with other people and my relationships? So there's just so many different avenues you can look at and understanding how am I here to, how is my energy designed to flow? And that's really what it's about. I mean, we talk about, you know, life force energy, that it's like, how do I work with the energy in my body so I have this free flowing life force energy? Because that's, for me, I am of the belief that every physical thing has this energetic, emotional root cause. And it's all just these slow down or stagnation of life force energy in our body that's not free flowing, that's causing these physical things to show up on our body. And so it's okay, let's look at the blueprint, right? The handbook, the blueprint, and see why is my energy not flowing freely through my body, and it's understanding how it's designed to move.
Mm. So just because I'm self-indulgent, I opened up some of my
Please do. I love here. This.
And you mentioned digestion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my I'm a self-projector, is it?
Okay. A projector.
Yeah, self-projecting projector. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What is your...
So firstly, what does that mean?
Okay. So projector, that's so interesting. I
can see it. Oh,
why? Yeah. I in my head, I had...
3-5. I'm a 3-5.
Oh, I'm a 3-5 too. I'm also a 3-5. I'm not a projector though. So projector, I had you pinned as like a generator type. So projector is projectors. Mm. And I have a soft spot. My son is a projector. Projectors are a very unique energy type. And like only... like 20% of the population are projectors, but you're here to be the guide, meaning that you're not here to necessarily be the doer, but you're the one who helps us see where we can improve and where we can do things better, which I think lends well to the work that you do. But like a mentor of mine described it as like birds on a wire, not like in a hierarchy kind of way, but like kind of overseeing, like they're the guide to see like where we can improve and where we can make things better, that kind of thing. And projectors have a really sensitive energy type, and they're really not meant, like a 9-to-5 job for projector is like, no bueno. Like this is not ideal for a projector because you have this, you have this sensitive energy where really you're just designed to work in like spurts, like 3 or 4 hour spurts of work at a time and then rest. So most like my projector clients really need more rest and sleep than most other types, which is, you said a second ago, like I need sleep. Like you probably really do need sleep because your energy type. I mean, you have this, projectors have this really open aura, like open energy field. So you're constantly taking in other people's energy throughout the day. And so it does, you just have this sensitive energy field. And so you need more rest. You need more time to kind of like discharge from other people's energy. The 3-5 that you said, I'm also a 3-5. So the numbers, so if you look at your human design, the number is called your profile. And it's basically who you're here to be for other people and how other people see you. So there's two numbers there. When you're close to 40, pretty much both of those numbers are pretty conscious, because at some point it's like one is conscious, one is subconscious. But when you get close to 40, you're pretty much both conscious. So for a 3-5, we are considered like the 3 line is the experimenter. So we're here to live as this life that's full of trial and error. So it's basically we're failing forward. Our whole life is this series of like failures and we try again, failures and we try again. So it's all about experimenting and seeing what works and what doesn't work, and then using the lessons from that to share with the collective. And that's how we bring our wisdom to the collective. And then the 5 line is which this is like, I could have pinned you as a 5 line 100%, where it's the disruptor. So it's like, how do you disrupt the status quo and like bring in a new way of seeing things or doing things? And that's the 5 line.
That makes sense. I don't know if you also know Enneagram, but I'm a number 8 in Enneagram, which is like the justice warrior, the guy that goes into battle for other people.
Yes, that makes so much sense. I love that. Yeah, you're living it out.
Well, yeah, I still need a nap though.
yes, I believe you.
You mentioned digestion before, yeah, and like how this information can help with digestion. Mm-hmm. So my digestive result is open. What does that mean?
Okay. So basically it means that you like a variety, like your diet. So digestion, let me back up. Digestion, and I talk a lot about it with food just because people are coming to me about nutrition and stuff. But digestion, really, it's about food, energy, information, like how you're taking things in. And so open digestion basically means like a variety, like you're good with eating a variety of things and a bunch of different things, like having a diet that's maybe the same every day is not ideal for how you best digest. And so eating a variety of things, multiple things, like a lot of like seasonal things, that's going to be best for your digestion.
Yeah, that's a good answer, because that's definitely, yeah, I can only do the same thing for like a few days.
That's me. And I have open digestion as well. Yeah.
Oh, we have so much in
common. Me too. I know. I love it.
Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, I'm making this podcast all about myself.
It works though. It resonates with people. I love this. I love reading people's charts on podcast interviews. So I love it.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm going to keep going.
Tell me more.
So it's got my environment as mountains, which is
mine,
like,
is too.
I love the mountains.
Oh my gosh.
And we kind of live in the mountains too.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
Loosely.
Yeah.
You know, when there's that question, are you a beach person or mountains person? I always pick mountains.
Mountains. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. In your environment, I love talking about environment too, because this is, so your environment is where, kind of where you're best connected with like your energy, your own energy, and also like divine energy, whatever that means for you, God, source, universe, spirit, like whatever higher power that is for you. It's where you best connect and where you feel most like in alignment with your own energy. And so it's tricky, because like for me, I don't live in the mountains. Now, we can drive up. There's this area that's a little outside of town called the Hill Country. And so it's hilly and a little bit mountainous, but I don't live near there. So for me, it's tricky. And I'm the same. I grew up going to the beach every year, but I've always been like, I would prefer being in the mountains. Like I want a view. And that's really mountains. It's like basically like where you have a vantage point. So it doesn't have to be. So for me, it's like a view, like a balcony or a high spot. And so like in my desk, I have pictures like behind my desk that are, I have like pictures of like the Amalfi Coast. So it's like the mountains. And I have, so I kind of created my own little mountain space, but really for me, it's having a vantage point. So like if I'm going to work at a coffee shop, I've got to be at a place where like I can look out the window. Like I need space to see. Like that's where your energy is going to flow.
Well, and that relates to what you said before about like being the bird on the mm-hmm. wire, mm-hmm. looking down and observing. So that, you know, that bird is at a vantage point, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. So good. My motivation is fear. What does that mean?
I am also fear motivation. Oh my gosh, we have so many similarities. This is crazy. So fear motivation. Okay, so your motivation is, I mean, it's just like it sounds. It's like what motivates you to do things. And so fear motivation, like you're literally motivated by fear. And not saying you have to be afraid of everything, but that's kind of what gets your gears turning is what's the word I'm looking for? Moving away from something. I think that's what I'm trying to say, like moving away from something. So it's like leaving something behind, that fear of what's going to happen. That's your motivation for taking action and doing things. And then the other thing, what is your, so at the bottom of your chart, there's a little square at the very bottom. Is yours colored in with the color or is it white?
It is white.
Okay. So mine is also. So that's your root center. I always like to talk about the root center because, so this is a pressure center, because I was talking about doing, so it relates. So your root center is your center for doing. The other reason I like to talk about the center is because the root center is tied to your adrenals. And because I work with so many high-performing women, the adrenals are always, I dare say, in shambles with a lot of the women that I work with, and mine have been. So I, again, no judgment, but the root center is one that's really important to understand how to work with, because it's how to work with, the root center is all about doing. It's like the pressure to do things. So when your center is not filled in, so it's not colored in, it's white, the pressure for us that have, it's called undefined. It's an undefined root center. The pressure is external. So for us, we're basically like taking in all the information around us, the energy around us, And we're either feeling a sense of like urgency, like this is urgent because I feel pressure that I see other people doing X, Y, Z. For me, this showed up in this pattern of like constant comparison. Like they're doing this and they're this far in their business and they're this far, they're doing this thing. And so it was like this pressure, like, oh, I got to keep doing, I got to keep going, I'm going to get behind. And so it's this constant like hypervigilance and urgency to do things because you feel this external pressure around you. Whereas if it was defined, like colored in, it would be an internal pressure. And so it's more of like an internal drive, which there's a shadow side to that too, because it's kind of like you don't know when to turn it off because it's like this internal drive to get things done. And so understanding how to work with the energy of that center can be so helpful because we think about the adrenals. I mean, the adrenals, like, yes, it's working with things like cortisol, right? But also with women, we're talking about things, also things like progesterone and testosterone. It also impacts how your thyroid is operating. So it's like this chain reaction of things that happen when our adrenals are out of whack. And it, that has been probably one of the most potent pieces that, that has helped my clients is understanding how to work with that particular energy center.
Mm, yeah, that's fascinating. I think there's a lot to be said. And the reason that I'm really leaning into this is because I think at the moment I'm going through a lot of reassessments of how I'm living my life and the roles that I play because kids take up energy and everybody's tired and exhausted. And for various reasons, you know, running, being a social extrovert and maybe this human design result, spending all my time in this cell by myself doesn't fuel me,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like after all these years of sort of drinking the, you know, laptop lifestyle Kool-Aid and the be your own business owner, boss Kool-Aid, it's like a little bit like I'm pretty lonely and I'm not very motivated when I don't have social accountability. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through this assessment really, like I'm doing Enneagram tests and I'm talking to ChatGPT and I'm like, here are my results of everything. How should I live my life?
Tell me. tell me everything.
Yeah. And it's been actually amazing to go back and forth. Yeah. And it even asked me, you know, not, and I'm a big advocate for not using AI as a therapist for various reasons. But the thing that I really liked is that it asked me, you know, what were the times in your life that you really enjoyed? What were you doing? Mm. What was your role? And what did you not like about those situations? And it allowed me to sort of discover what was already obvious once it was said out loud. But it's, you know, when I was on touring with bands and I was on stage performing with a group of people, when I was playing sport and, you know, I was maybe the captain of a team, but there was still a team, you know. And so it's really like, I knew this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love people. I love being out in the world.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the reason that I'm just really leaning into this conversation is like, maybe there's some more amazingness here that's saying, yeah, you need to change your path.
Yeah. Or just, you know, broaden it a little bit. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening to me hijacking this conversation.
I love it. Well, it encourages people. So everybody go look up your own human design. You can get it for free on like 5,000 different websites. Like it's an easy thing to get. So it's, yeah, go look your own up now.
Yeah, totally. Do you find that people that get this information, they start understanding their health experience or their symptoms of their body a lot better once they understand how their energetic and genetic makeup?
Yeah, for 100%. And, you know, I always tell my clients, I had this conversation the other day on a podcast I was interviewing on. I tell my clients, if you get nothing else from me, like if nothing else and your body changes with working with me, if the only thing you get from me is understanding your body at like the deepest level, because like, yes, I do the functional labs and I want them to understand, you know, why they're having the physical things on their, you know, that's going on in their bodies, but also like understanding yourself at that deep energetic level, because I mean, really, I want them to leave feeling empowered. I want you to be resourced and leave feeling empowered. Like, oh, I understand. Like, this is why my body got triggered this way. This is why my energy is feeling this way. This is why I haven't been sleeping great. Or this is why my gut's doing this. Because I have this deep understanding. Like, I understand how the physical body works. I understand how my specific energy body works. And so now I can make these empowered decisions for myself. And going back to the beginning, what we were talking about with intuition and listening to our bodies, like they know the language of their body now. Like I know why my body's doing this. I understand how my energy works. I understand what my body needs. I know what my body's asking for. So I think it 100% helps.
Mm, yeah, it's good. I like, I really like when we pair this combination of like some form of personality self-understanding with how we go about health, because I think it really validates people's life experience, yeah, to be 100%. Like, oh, it's not just Maddie, it's not just Hope. Like there's this whole ecosystem of human design or astrology or what Enneagram or whatever it is that actually confirms that my experience is accurate and correct, yeah, and I'm not delusional and I'm not the only person out here suffering and everybody else has got it figured out. So I really like that you've got that added in, because I think it's very validating for people.
Exactly. Validating is a perfect word for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for everyone that's listening and that's like, Hope is amazing, I need more of her in my life. I mean, we all need a little bit more Hope, right? Where can they find you online?
Yeah, I am most active on Instagram. So I'm at TheHopePedraza on Instagram. You can find me on my podcast called Hopeful and Wholesome, where I talk about all these things we've talked about here on the show today. And then my website is the same, hopefulandwholesome.com.
Such a good like name, Hopeful and Wholesome. Like,
I've spent my whole life playing off my name, so.
Why wouldn't you? Oh my God. Your parents, marketing geniuses.
Right? Could thank them for that.
So we're going to jump over into the real talk section. We're just going to ask a few questions, short and sharp, and then on the other end of that, we'll round out the conversation. Okay. So is that all good?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. What's something you believe now that made you laugh 10 years ago?
I thought I had a good answer for this. I think I'll probably answer this for more than one question, but I think how much our energy plays a part in how our physical body feels.
What's one habit that you'd be embarrassed to admit that you still have?
I can't say I'm really that embarrassed by it, but my husband might be, is my sleep habits. Like, I am such a snob about how I sleep. I have to have the noise machine and my eye mask and the temperature just right and the right pillows and the right blankets. And even when I travel, I have my noise machine. So yeah, I'm a snob with my sleep.
What's one supplement habit or wellness trend that you think is overhyped?
This might rub people the wrong way, some people, but I think intermittent fasting, specifically for women.
Oh damn, this is the short sharp section. I want to have that conversation. What's a rabbit hole topic that you think more people should explore?
Energetics, human design, like dive into human design, people.
In 20 years from now, what do you want to be known for?
For shifting the paradigm of health, where it's no longer just about the physical body, but people do understand how their emotions and energetics play a part in their health, their overall health.
And finally, if everything you've ever said was deleted, what's one sentence you want to leave people with?
Your body has all the wisdom and all the answers that you need.
Mic drop.
Yeah, that's it.
Hope, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate your time, your energy. I think we can have about 40 other conversations 100%. And we should definitely do
that.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks so much for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, no worries. We'll catch you soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.